Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to SOAR with Dr. Stephanie Brown on WPGR Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in to listen. I truly appreciate all of my listeners and callers, along with our guests. You really make the show. For those of you who may not know me, I am a life coach and a physician, and I'm here to use my voice to help sisters overcome and rise. I get to do this by discussing relevant topics and struggles that we all go through and encounter in life, with a focus on how we can overcome them by transforming limiting beliefs into living our best lives. I will be taking calls later, so if you want to join the discussion, make sure that you press 1 and you'll be added to the call queue. So today's topic is journey to wholeness. The dictionary definition of wholeness has two parts. The first definition states, it's the state of forming a complete and harmonious whole, unity. The second definition says that it's the state of being unbroken and undamaged. And I find that really interesting because those definitions are very different. And when I thought about this topic, I thought about wholeness as being twofold. On the one hand, the journey to wholeness feels like the path that you just naturally travel when you're coming into adulthood and you're getting to the point where you feel like you're whole and complete. I can remember that sense of anxiety as a young woman striving to get through college and the pressure of getting into medical school to pursue the career that I had dreamed of since I was 9 years old, and then continuing to strive to create a family and to build a career and not even really allowing myself to feel whole until I had obtained those things that I was yearning for. And then arriving and looking around at the career, the house, the family, and saying, this is good, but I thought it would feel different. I've checked all of the boxes, but I still don't really feel complete. It reminds me of that famous line in that Tom Cruise movie, and I don't remember the name. I'm sure you guys probably know the name. But it's where the couple has broken up, and then he comes back, and you see the scene, and they're slowly walking towards each other, not knowing what the other one is going to say, and time seems to stand still as they stare into each other's eyes. And as the audience, we hold our breath, waiting in anticipation to see who speaks first and what they will say. And he says, "You complete me." And everyone watching just melts into a sappy mess at how perfect that was. And sometimes life does imitate art. And many of us have waited for that perfect, dramatic, bated breath moment when that person or that thing completes us. But it doesn't really happen like that in real life. For me, realizing that I was already whole, even before the career and the family and the accomplishments, because God made me whole, was a game changer. At that moment, I realized that there was nothing that I needed to do. I could just be. And on the other hand, the second definition of wholeness, being the state of being unbroken and undamaged, is an entirely different perspective, to the point that it almost seems strange that both definitions belong to the same word. Let's be honest. Brokenness and damage is a part of life. Who among us really feels like we are completely unbroken or undamaged? It's fundamental to the human condition to have some brokenness. We can even achieve a sense of wholeness only to have it shattered into pieces like a vase loudly smacking on the floor at the loss of a loved one or a failed relationship or a medical diagnosis or any number of life circumstances. That's why the concept of wholeness being a journey really resonates with me. Because for me, it's dynamic and it's not just a constant or consistent state of being. Sometimes I think about that journey like taking a train ride from Maryland to California. We board the train and we may stop in Chicago, where we grew up, and we get the opportunity to heal some of our childhood traumas through some deep and honest conversations with our family, continue along our journey. And we may get to Idaho Springs, Colorado, where we get off to do some mountain climbing and we commune with nature and we find our center and our balance. But we get back on the train, continuing to head west towards our destination. As long as we're on the train and we're not sitting at Baltimore Penn Station watching all of the other trains go by, complaining about how filthy the train station is, we know we're moving closer to our destination. Because sometimes life will throw some curveballs our way. And just to survive, we have to compartmentalize the pain, which leaves us fractured. It takes courage to do the work of healing and integrating those pieces back into the whole. Just know you are already an overcomer just by stepping off of the platform and boarding the train. Done the work and continues to do the work on her journey to wholeness. And she has a very compelling story that she is graciously going to share with us today. Audra Dixon is a wife to Eric and a mother of two. Eric Julian is 22 and Lauren is 20. She attended Bennett College and received her MPH from Yale. She currently works at NIH in the field of diversity and inclusion. Let's welcome Audra to the show. Welcome, Audra.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. So I know this is a topic.
Steph, we've known each other for 2 years. Did you just say Audra Dixon?
Nixon. I'm sorry.
Yes, Audra girl. Nixon. It's all good. It's all good. You know, you have family. Well, it's going to be like, did she just call you Dixon? It's all good. Love you.
Thank you. So I know that this topic is very near and dear to your heart. So I would love for you to share with us what Journey to Wholeness means to you.
So one of the blessings is the group that you and I are part of, that women's group. And we've talked a lot about our journeys. And so for me, the Journey to Wholeness started with, I always have felt from a very young age, I have an identical twin, and I developed vitiligo when I was 2. And so as a twin with a very profound difference in how you look, I always remember folks saying, so what's wrong with her face? I didn't realize that kind of planted a seed. And so from there, I always struggled with self-doubt, and that kind of grew, and it was kind of like something I carried throughout my entire life, into my marriage, into my adulthood, and even though I was thriving in a lot of areas of my life, I still had that piece. And so it was a year-long study through Bible, at BSF Bible Study Fellowship, that I studied the book of John, and it talked about how much God loved us and how, you know, well, it was a year-long study. By the end of the study, I felt a weight had lifted, and I best describe it as kind of once it was shared with me, I at that point began to just receive what God's word said about me. My father's a minister. I've been in church my whole life. But it really was that applicability to what I realized that I needed, just that profound love that I, and my heart filled up. And at that point, it was literally a transition in my life. I was transformed by that year and just understanding God's love for me. And then I went on to begin to receive that love in my heart.
Yeah.
And slowly that process of really understanding God's love, receiving God's love. And then really, at times, if you've built up that profound self-doubt, it takes a while to kind of break through that. And then, so I received it. So I kind of, at that point, then began to just look at my life. And at that point, I began to see how that self-doubt had weaved itself around lots of relationships and how I saw myself. Mm-hmm. But that journey was an indelible mark where it stopped, and after that I began to look at things differently, and that difference in my life I found to be that the start of my journey, I should say, of wholeness.
Right.
And of course it's a continual journey, right, Seth?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you said being able to receive that love, because sometimes the love is there, but we're not able to receive it. And I think that that's a really critical point. So when you mentioned that for you, it was kind of a very pivotal point where you can kind of point to when you really came whole. So after that point, do you feel like it was something that you just maintained, or did you have peaks and valleys where life kind of broke you down and you had to rebuild that sense of wholeness?
Right. So that's an interesting question, because I think the easiest answer is we're always challenged with that that feeling of wholeness, be it in our relationships or at work. But I will tell you that because I began to seek that the presence of God that I truly felt during that year more than I ever had before, that practice of that presence, of seeking the presence of God in my life, is what really made me feel. I felt the difference when I was kind of out of that energy of peace. And again, we've talked about the feeling of wholeness. Then I would feel the difference. And so it began, I would know when I was out of that, right? So I would have a disagreement with my husband or something. I would be like, I need to stop and I need to go quiet. And I knew that that is where I found my peace, where I found my strength, was just going quiet, and then I would begin to feel better. And then I will even honestly tell you that study made a difference in my life, but I wasn't always practicing daily. So you would get out of the streak, you would get out of the habit or the practice, and then you'd have the result of kind of being haywire emotions and thoughts and actions. And so I am over 50. And so I will simply share with you that it has been what I understand to be the difference in my life. And it is the story that I tell when someone asks me about this. Then I say it is literally practicing that presence, however you do it, and I have ways that I do it.
Mm-hmm. As you were talking, it reminded me of, I used to be a part of a small group, and the small group was, there were about 10 or 12 of us, and we came together once a week to study. And as a part of that small group, I remember doing a daily a discipleship reading and practice.
Yeah.
And I just remember this feeling of extreme peace and almost like a sense of enlightenment when I was doing that.
Sure.
And I remember it so vividly, and it came back to mind as you were talking about your study through John. And I think that that consistency, that daily practice of spending time with God or whoever you consider, whatever you consider that creator force is in your life, does make a huge difference. And I'm glad you brought that back to my memory. I know sometimes we feel like we need certain things to make us whole. At least I know I did, you know, whether it be a degree, a certain level of success, a husband, children, a certain income, and the list goes on. Do you remember there ever being things outside of yourself that you believe you needed in order to be whole?
Absolutely. Yes. I think we all experienced that. Even, you know, we all have those things that resonate with us. And so what's funny about that is when I begin to think, my children are 22 and 20, as you mentioned. And so there's certain things in my life that made me really begin to think about legacy. And so I began to think, if you could give them any tool, if you could give them anything, if I left tomorrow, and how would I know that they would be okay, right? And so when you think about what you want to give them, absolutely generational, you know, wealth, absolutely. But more importantly, when the wealth, when everything is gone, right, could go, then, and I mentioned to you my father's a minister, and I feel very fortunate because even being cemented and seated in that community, it still took me a while for it to resonate with me, right? And so for it to be life applicable, for it to seed into my life for me, understand its importance. And so, you know, I really thought sharing with my children, my favorite devotional is Jesus Calling. And so I recommend it to everyone. Even though I gave them the books, if there's a day that resonates with me, I'll screenshot it and send it to them. And I always thought, they're going to think I'm like, you know, a Jesus freak or something, which I'm okay with, right? But at the end of the day, it took my daughter being at school calling me and saying, I know I have my own Jesus Calling, but could you send me, you know, could you send me like you've been sending me, Mom, because I think I forgot a day or something. And I don't send every day, right? But it really took when she said, can I have my own? Could you get my friend one? That there is no other legacy that it's important to me, to be very honest.
Yeah.
Because what I know is the love of God and the wisdom of God is there. And if I could plant that seed into their life, then I know that if I'm hoping it won't take them as long, but my father was very, very, as I did, but my father was very, very good at not beating us over the head, right? So he kind of let us find our own. I'm a little bit more aggressive than that. I don't want you to find your path. I do want you to find your life path, Stephanie, but I want you to understand that this is what's important to me. And I will tell you the example from my mother. My mother got us Jesus Calling. But the funny thing, Stephanie, is she got it for me for my 50th. And then it was a couple of years later that I opened it. Didn't open it.
Yeah.
Opened it a couple of years later, and there was a beautiful letter that she wrote us and stuck it in that I didn't find until later, right? So I'm sorry, Mom. I mean, someone tells her. But at the end of the day.
Official apology.
Right? It was, exactly. It's official. But understanding that there is no better legacy, and so it is what I share with folks because I believe it was foundational for my life, and it provided where I believe that there's a grounding that occurs that allows me, because you are with yourself, right, more than you're with anyone else. And that grounding, I know when I need more. I know when I need to reconnect. I know when I need to touch and be in touch with the Spirit to bring me where I need to do. And I feel that empowerment is what I think everyone needs, actually.
Yeah. Those are great points. And that is pretty impressive when your, you know, early 20s, child reaches out to you and asks for you to share something spiritual with them and then asks for you to share something spiritual with their friends. Because we know that, you know, at that age, a lot of children are not asking for anything spiritual, especially not from their parents. So the legacy that you seek to leave, obviously you are doing a good job with that. I just wanted to say that if there are any listeners who would like to add to the conversation, please feel free. Just select one on the phone and you'll be added to the queue, and we would love to hear from you as well. So there's so many things that I want to discuss and talk about that we could go in so many different directions with this topic.
Good. Yes.
One of the things, and I sort of mentioned it in the introduction, for me about wholeness is integration. I think many times there are parts of ourselves that we may feel ashamed of or that we keep hidden because we've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to survive, we start to kind of compartmentalize ourselves. And there's maybe a part of ourselves that we kind of keep in the basement and a part of ourselves that we show to the world and welcome people into. And so we end up with pieces here and pieces there. When I think about achieving authentic wholeness, it means integrating all of those pieces and accepting and loving all of the parts of myself, even those parts that seem unlovable. What are your thoughts on integration? Does that fit into your journey?
Yeah,
wholeness?
Absolutely. I'm just thinking about it. Absolutely, Steph. The thing is that because I struggled, but I still was accomplished certain things in my life, then there's that balance where you would profound self-doubt. So where I will tell you that, of course, there's times that you want to not be as transparent. But what I found, though, it's just like this story when you asked me, you know, and there was a moment where, you know, you have a little bit of a panic, right? But I think that church prepares you to understand that your trial is your testimony. And so I think at this part of my life, and also understanding that if you can't accept yourself, that self-love is so important, in that when you're sharing yourself, you're simply saying, I'm okay, I'm just working on that area, right?
Right.
And so I didn't always feel that way. But that wholeness piece of it is talking about, is that acceptance piece. You know, you and I were talking once about like what everyone really wants is to be loved. And so, but you know, and I was working with one of my children about self-love. And at the end of the day, it is more important right after God loving you, you must love yourself. And like, it's until you get that together, you need to stay right. I mean, you just need to pause.
Yeah.
Because its effect, Stephanie, is so profound, right? In trauma and relationships and so many other places in that. And I wish I had known that. And so it is one of the things that is the biggest motivator. Is that transparency for the sake of the lesson, for the sake of loving you where you are. And that's why I love our group, our monthly group, is that we are talking relatively transparent, right? And transparently.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, when you can confess, right? It's almost like confessing your sins, but when you can share with your sister, your family, I'm struggling here, you know, we have talked about how great you feel when you can just say that, when you can just talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because when you kind of keep. You did. When you keep things sort of hidden, even from yourself, then you definitely are not able to share it with anybody else because you haven't looked at it yourself. And eventually those things that are pushed away have a way of bubbling to the surface at times when it's least convenient for you. And so you have to deal with it at some point. So it's kind of better to deal with it when you have the support and ability to deal with it. So I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there? If you want to call in, you can just press 1. So maybe we lost our caller. So we'll continue the conversation because I mean this is very real, you know, as we kind of talk about these things and we grapple with them, you know, they're tough subjects to really kind of dive into. And so I'm so appreciative of you kind of bearing your soul and being transparent with your journey, because a lot of us can learn from other women who've had similar journeys before us, and we might be able to, you know, decrease somebody else's length of time that it takes for them to get to their destination
mm-hmm.
just by sharing and being
mm-hmm.
transparent. So,
can I ask also something about that real quick, Stephanie?
Sure.
Is that piece of hiding is based so profoundly in fear, and so that is where that transition into God's love and loving yourself. It's the empowerment that you don't even realize. You don't even know that grounding in love of God and yourself provides such a foundation for power that you don't as often run in fear from those things that are painful. Right? It was more painful.
Absolutely.
To have that self-doubt and lack of love for yourself.
No, fear is definitely at the root of it. And fear of rejection and fear of loss of love are two of the most common ones that come up.
Mm-hmm.
So is our caller on the line now? Okay. So just press 1 and you should be able to speak. Okay. So one
can you
of the other
okay?
things as we can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before. Hi. Thanks for calling in. What's your name?
My name is Chandra Williams, and I got to just say more than anything that I'm so proud of Audra Nixon on her journey. I've known Audra for 33 years, and she is definitely one of my sheroes. God has moved in a mighty way, not only in her life and that of her sister, but just the bond that we've shared, and we've shared some incredible experiences. So I just wanted to call in as to offer my love, my support, and just super proud of her. So it's more a comment than a question. She's pretty amazing.
Yes, she is pretty amazing. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing with Audra how you feel about her. I think she has a lot of people in her life that feel that way, but it's always good to hear it, right, Audra?
Yeah.
I try to tell her as often as I can. But just
thank
she
you.
Listen, friend, you're the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Nothing like somebody who knows you that long, Stephanie. They got all of the skeletons. They know all of the details.
Right. So they can confirm your journey, and they can see the growth. And it's really a blessing to have people in your life who can see your growth. It keeps you humble, but it also allows you to reflect back how far you've grown just by them telling you. So that's nice.
Thank you so
much, now,
Andre.
Now that we, this is a perfect kind of segue. Since Chandra has known you for all of these years, so she knew you when you were younger. So if you think about the experiences that you had and what you've learned along your journey, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self now that you know what you know now?
20-year-old self. I don't want to be redundant, but you are loved immeasurably. Because I think that we are, we think about our parents' love and like, oh yeah, they love us. But I just cannot express the importance because, and I don't think that I realized that was what I needed necessarily. I always was looking to myself to fix it or to work harder or to get over it. And so grounding that 20-year-old in that you are loved immeasurably, and then just moving very quickly into once, you know, she's confident about that she knows how much God loves her, that she must then switch to understanding that she must love herself. I think that, you know, I love talking to women, and I love, you know, the women's groups, because we often are affirming each other on the thing that the person
mm-hmm.
thinks is bad about themselves. It takes.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I am sorry I've been remiss without telling you my number one mirror, who is not only my a wonderful critic, but also a wonderful support, is my twin, Andra. Because at the end of the day, we have an opportunity to be very, very direct and brutally honest, right? But at the end of the day, when you are loved at the same time, right? All of those things in one.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was very lucky to have someone who I share life with and I'm that loved. But at the end of the day, you must love yourself. And so there is no replacement for that. And so I would say that to my 20-year-old because that's what I'm trying to do with my children, in that the importance of that, and that please don't discount that, and please work on that, and please continue to affirm that. Loving, importance of loving yourself.
I would agree with that. That would be the same
mm-hmm.
thing that I would tell my 20-year-old self. And it sounds like you are telling a version of your 20-year-old self by telling that to your children. So
it's
you're
true.
Really kind of seeding it forward. So that
mm-hmm.
so that's beautiful. I don't think we can ever tell ourselves or tell our children enough how much they're loved, so that they're just kind of rooted
mm-hmm.
in that. I think it brings confidence that will serve them well for the rest of their lives. So
mm-hmm.
right now we are going to take a break, and then we'll come
okay.
back and continue the conversation.
Okay, great.
Okay.
On your mind, nothing really going right. Look
Okay, welcome back to SOAR. We're here with Audra Nixon as our guest for tonight, and we're talking about the journey to wholeness. And if you would like to comment or you have a question, feel free to press 1 and you'll be added to the call queue. So, Audra, one of the things we've kind of been talking about how we got to a place of feeling like we were whole. So what I wanted to kind of talk about is what it feels like or how it manifests when you don't feel like you're whole, when you feel like you're in that state of brokenness. So knowing you've talked about how love was sort of at the core of that for you. So knowing who you are and how loved you are, like how has that made an impact in areas of your life? When that realization wasn't there, like how did it affect you in real time?
Sure. So it was very similar to, and I think that's what you're asking, Melanie. It was very similar to our conversation, which is searching for other things, and then also not understanding its effect of having self-doubt. So, for instance, in any relationship, you or a work environment, anything. I was an Army officer, and so there are times that not being and how I describe it as being grounded, the wholeness piece manifests itself in my life as groundedness. And so, when I haven't felt grounded, then I've looked for other things and or not as confident about. Opportunities or things I wanted to do.
Sure.
And so there's always that, there's that emotional, even and frankly, spiritual unrest and confusion. And so those things, you know, appear in your life as different things, like just causing arguments because something feels uncomfortable to you, but really it's about your unsureness. Or like you said, buying the items, eating the food, you know, those type of things to fill those voids.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't that groundedness and also even now when I, for whatever reason, you get off track, life's busy, I try not to miss my daily morning ritual. But if for whatever reason I do, then what you do is you just jump into your day and you start going, and then I don't feel as clear, right? Or I don't feel as thoughtful, or when I'm quiet, wisdom about something I've been worrying about, or even reminding myself, Lord, this is what I feel. This is how I'm feeling. The conversation with God can get it off your plate, out of your mind, and then rest with God versus it going in your head and you're trying to resolve it. You know, it's funny because one of my friends said, well, how do you separate when it's God or it's you, or, you know, when a good thing's happened? And I said, you know, I just give God all the glory because I don't know exactly where in the midst of all of that that he stepped in and supported, right? And so that piece of groundedness comes with, I believe, an assuredness that I am protected, loved, guided, wisdom, and you take that next best step that day, right? Because you feel you are ready. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the outcome, but it has provided, the practice has provided a more sense of peace where I haven't always had that.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. And what you said about unrest, that kind of, that really resonates with me. It's just that feeling of unrest, like you need something. You're kind of yearning for something outside of yourself. So whether that be, you know, the shopping, whether that be the eating of the foods that are not really fueling your body, but they're just fueling that anxiety or whatever it is. And then just being able to kind of rest and be at peace. I definitely would agree with that sense of peace and tranquility translates to a sense of wholeness for me as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that answer. So you talked a little bit earlier about fear, and I sort of interjected, you know, what I think some of the fears are. How else has fear stood in the way of you feeling whole or being able to gain your personal strength? Because you, when we talked before, you shared with me that the journey of wholeness is about you gaining your personal strength. And mm-hmm. I always like to think about this conversation on SOAR as getting rid of those fears or those limiting beliefs
mm-hmm.
so that we can
mm-hmm.
kind of just soar a little bit higher. So I'd love your mm-hmm. take on that.
How the fear stood in the way of feeling whole, is that what you said?
Yeah, so how fear stood in the way of feeling whole or and gaining your personal strength.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So the best way I can describe it is I lived in fear prior to the journey of getting of this practice, right, of groundedness,
mm-hmm.
wholeness. So that was a place, and what's interesting about that is because I have father, a minister, mother, very spiritual, then I had those tools, right? But they were not applied. And so
mm-hmm.
there are times that I would, of distress, I remember in prayer, crying, talking to God, and I remember there was an audible, I felt like it was an audible voice said, be who I've called you to be. Leave the rest. Just leave the rest up to me. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to rhyme there, Stephanie. But at the end of the day, it was
go ahead.
Be who I've called you to be, right? And so, being who I called you to be is in alignment with who God is.
Yeah.
And so, it isn't within my power, is what I should say. So it is the easy stuff, right? Being who He's called me to be. I didn't mean to say easy, but what I mean to say is, it's between God and I, and the rest of the person, the relationships, the boss, the other things is up to Him.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes we will shift that, right, specifically with children. I'm going to do this. You're going to do this. I'm going to call this. I'm going to say this. And so, you know, when we're trying to do the rest of life and control the rest of life, and it often is based on fear, often based upon the outcome, often based upon those things that, and I was motivated more by that fear than by the resonating and practicing, getting into the spirit and listening. And ultimately, if I am still feeling, I can just turn it over. And so that doesn't come overnight. Because my children's like, I don't, you know, how do we get from here to there, Mom? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it does take time. It does take time. But I want to show that it is accomplishable. And that if, for instance, we wanted, Steph, we talk about, you know, exercise or eating. If you know that that's where you want to be, you're not there today, but you know what is the goal. What is the goal? And if your goal is peace, if your goal is groundedness, if those are your goals, I want to encourage you that there is a way to get there, right? But
mm-hmm.
I was more consumed with fixing and trying to please and all those other things that can resonate within you when you're motivated or led by fear.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There were several things that you said there. For me, I know, I feel like I used to have a fear of people disapproving of me or not liking me. And I think that those fears, you know, if we talk about that state of wholeness being that state of peace and tranquility and not having that unrest, I feel like those fears definitely stood in the way of me being able to feel that peace and tranquility because I was always worrying,
mm-hmm.
well, if I say this or if I do this, will this person not like me? And being able to change that thought of, if I say this or I do this, this person won't like me, to I like myself. And whoever
mm-hmm.
likes me is whoever's going to like me. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do what it is that I feel led to do and what I feel purposed to do. And, you know, not everybody's going to like me, and that's okay. I don't need everybody
mm-hmm.
to like me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something that was part of my journey to kind of overcoming
the insecurity, I would call it insecurity, and getting to a place of feeling whole and confident in who I was. You also talked about how you had to get to a point where you realized some of it was your for you to do and some of it was for God to do, and you had to let go of the part that was for God to do. And I think that that is really, really important too, because sometimes we're kind of hitting a brick wall because the work is not for us to do. It's for us to trust and release it to God to do. I think we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
I am here, ladies. This conversation today has been so inspirational for me. I'm Andra, Audra's twin.
Hi, Andra.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that, you know, it's beautiful to hear, you know, my sister's journey kind of publicized, because, you know, life can throw you a lot of different things. And I think what's inspiring about you all's conversation today is just to encourage those who may be walking through the hardness of life and the fire of life and the things that can, you know, really give us pause, and then to know that through that, that God is doing something. So when you come out on the other side, you will have a testimony and you will have something to say and something to share that will help and encourage others. So I just wanted to make that comment. I'm just, you know, peacock proud of my twins. And so I'm going to get off the line before I start gushing. But it's been a really wonderful listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Andra, for calling in.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm not crying
you
today,
have a
Stephanie.
Lot of
won't
fans. You have so many people who are proud of you and supporting you, and that's just wonderful. It's great for me to see you being celebrated. You deserve
thank
it.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks, Stephanie.
As you were speaking, there was also something else that kind of resonated with me. Because I had to go on a journey and reevaluate my life's purpose. And I did that by working with a coach that helped me discover that my purpose is to be a healer, but not just a physical healer in terms of being a physician, but holistically to help people. And a lot of times I think mostly women to heal emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and socially. So you've kind of gone through this journey. What are some of the tools that you use to help you define your purpose?
Purpose. So I think it's growing, Stephanie, right? What I know for sure is that the Bible says we are created for a purpose. And in this experience, because I've I did not really realize that this story, and I should, because I know, as we talked about testimonies and church trials and testimonies, but it wasn't until my daughter said, "Mom, I've been talking to a friend of mine who's struggling with self-doubt, and I want you to." I've tried to talk with her. And I want you to talk with her and just tell her your story, Mom. Don't lecture her like you lecture me. And tell your story, Mom, because I think she can learn something from the story, Mom. And so in that, and it's happened more than once, right? So I believe that obviously we have lots of purpose. And when you're married with children, those are oftentimes where we're seeding into that is, you know, one of our first jobs. But I do know that I had wished at different parts of my life that I had been given more guidance. And so I think that one purpose is to share the story, because it is completely the glory of the Lord. And also one of the things that I love about the story is it really is, I am the carrier of the story. But it's so much about God, and everyone has access to that. So that's one of the things I love the most about it, is that, the, you know, our salvation is shareable. This this win is shareable. The groundedness and wholeness is shareable. And so if there, I will continue to ask God, what would you have me do? But when we were talking, he was like, I would love you to come on. What would, do you think you want to talk about? I didn't even think very much about it. You know, my journey is something that has brought value. And so I think one of my purposes is to share as I am today. Yeah. And it's my first time sharing in a public forum. But I know that there has been a value. And frankly, it doesn't have to be public. It can simply be very personal. And so it can be a call. It can be that. But I do know that when he is taking you from one place to another, you must share that story.
Yeah.
You are required to share. You are required.
Yeah. And sometimes you get to the point where the story, it just bubbles up in you to the point where you know that you have to share it. And I think that that's one of the ways that God kind of speaks to us, because you just can't hold it in any longer and you need to share it.
Yeah.
And anytime you share it, I think that it's impactful, because you're walking in your purpose by sharing the story. And I'm sure this won't be the last time you share it publicly, because it is necessary, and it is blessing people just by hearing your story. So I appreciate you being willing to share it publicly.
Yes. Thank you for asking.
You are welcome. Now, I always like to ask, you know, what people, what advice they would give to another sister who may be struggling with her journey to wholeness. So what advice would you give another sister?
So when I was sharing with my daughter's friend, I kind of tried to kind of put my thoughts together a little bit. And I came up with, like, something I thought that she could remember. And I want to share that. And it was discover, receive, believe, and dwell. So discover who God says you are within the word, and discover his love for you. Receive it, because it's just like salvation. It's there, but you must receive. And then you must believe what it says, right? And then lastly, what I have found for me, because we continue the journey of, you know, wholeness and groundedness is sometimes moment by moment, right, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Is to dwell. And that dwelling with the Spirit is something that I just simply explained I showed her my devotional. But at the end of the day, the dwelling is where the peace comes. The dwelling is where the wisdom comes. And that is that little voice happens when you're dwelling, that the Holy Spirit direction, right? And so I love one of the things that I felt, which is that tool of the daily devotional just brings you back. You know, in the morning, we talk about the morning rituals in our group. That morning ritual just kind of sets it. Like, you know, we're all trying to exercise in the morning. We're all trying to do a lot, but we must. I have found it. And Stephanie, can I give a shout out to my mother again? She's always done this. I didn't always do it.
Of course. Shout out
I didn't
to
always
mom,
do
always
it.
Allowed.
Yes. I did not always do it. It was examples, but I did not always do it. And so that dwelling piece is what I spent the most time talking about with this young lady, in that because we must be quiet to hear God. We must be quiet to settle our minds. We must be quiet to come to that place where we are resonating and the Spirit can lead us. And so that's it.
So let me make sure I have it. Discover, receive, believe, and dwell. Is that it?
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. Discover, receive, believe, and dwell. Love it.
Yes.
We have one last caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. Is this Naomi?
Hi. This is Naomi.
Hi.
Hi, Naomi. Hello, 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 Audra. I just wanted to say that I really, really enjoyed the conversation, the discussion that you were having with Stephanie today, and then just to sit and listen and hear you drop those pearls of discover, receive, believe, and dwell. Just while I was waiting to be, you know, to be ushered into the conversation, you know, that's really important. And I just wanted to thank you for that. A lot of times it's difficult for us to receive, even when we do know what the Word of God says about us and who we are created to be and what role we're purpose to fulfill. Sometimes that's hard, and there's a lot of fear that's associated with that. And receiving is not always an easy thing to do, because when you receive, you also have to accept. You have to accept the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. And sometimes there's a lot of fear in walking out that purpose, and the fear of success, and the fear of how am I going to handle. Because, Stephanie, you said that sometimes you have a fear in going along your journey and wondering what are people going to say. You know, sometimes you conquer one level, and then there's, or I should say a dimension, because there's dimensions of growth and there's dimensions of purpose. And so when you ascend from dimension to dimension to dimension, you know that you're fulfilling God's purpose in your life, but you still always wonder what other people are going to say, what other people think about what you're doing. And I think that that's a natural thing. But to be able to dwell and to be comfortable and know that you're doing what God instructed you to do, that's a pearl. That's a pearl.
Yes.
Thank you.
Pearl.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for calling.
Naomi, thank you so much for calling and for sharing that. And I love how you put the dimensions, because it really is. You kind of, you conquer, if we're talking about wholeness as being a journey, as you're going along this journey, you know, you conquer one thing and you get healed in one area, but then there's another area, another thing that you have to conquer. So, Audra, I just want to say thank you so much for being on SOAR and being a part of the conversation. And I just want to let our listeners know that if you have topics that you want to discuss, or if you want to reach me, you can reach me on Facebook at Stephanie Brown Coaching. And to just continue to live well, laugh hard, and live long. And thank you so much for joining me on SOAR. And I hope to hear from you, and I hope that you'll be able to join and listen next Sunday at 7.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephanie. Bye-bye.
You see me moving all the needed people out my life, and I'm trying to get these crazy thoughts out of my mind. Yeah, you gave me all the weapons, but it's still a fight. So help me maintain. Help me maintain.
Yeah, I don't wanna live in stress or fear, 'cause it's getting crazier every day out here. All the love and peace you give to me, I hold so dear. So help me maintain. Help me maintain.